the confidence boost that comes from being able to be aggressive, it translates outside of the ring too. Like, I mean, yes, I would still consider myself like a nice person, but I also feel like I have become a stronger person mentally as well, just because I don't feel like such, like, I always have to be like, hey, I'm so sweet and nice. And like, no, I can put my foot down. I can be strong, like stand up for myself.
From Haymakers for Hope, this is Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell.
Haymakers for Hope exists to knock out cancer the only way we know how, fighting for a cure through charity boxing.
Thanks to generous supporters and more than 1,200 ass-kicking do-gooders, Haymakers has raised over $25 million for cancer research, care, awareness, and survivorship. But the march towards a cure continues long after the last bell of each event.
I'm Julie Kelly.
I'm Todd Buster Paris.
We know firsthand because we are not just your hosts, we are also survivors.
On this podcast, we will highlight the stories of fighters, survivors, organizations, and supporters. Not every fight ends at the bell.
Round one. Hello, and welcome to Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell. We have an amazing guest today, Bells of the Brawl alumni, Rachel Hogan. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for coming.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm Julie Kelly. I'm the co-founder of Haymakers for Hope, and I have my main man, Todd Paris, here.
Hello.
We're going to chat with Rachel, who is a Bells of the Brawl alumni 2019. Rachel, how did you get involved with Haymakers?
Yes. I used to go to Everybody Fights in the Seaport. I was a member there, and I worked in a photo studio next door in the same building. And so while I was attending that gym, I would kind of sneak down there and do photos like between classes, or I would take class and take some photos. So I got really involved in Everybody Fights for like providing them with photos for Instagram and just kind of helping out with their marketing. So I became close with their marketing director, who then introduced me to Jordan McMillan, the Haymakers for Hope marketing director. And she was like, hey, we're this awesome organization. We put on boxing events for charity. Do you want to come and take photos? I started taking photos at events and just fell in love with the organization that way. And I was boxing as well at the gym, kind of just recreationally, not like really sparring much at that point when I first learned about Haymakers, but just kind of doing boxing classes for fitness purposes.
What was the timeline? So you competed in 2019, but you were taking photographs not only for EBF at the time, but also attending Haymakers events and taking photos.
Yes. So I started, I want to say it was probably like early 2016.
Oh, wow.
I think I interned at this photo studio in like 2015 and kind of started attending Everybody Fights in 2016, I want to say. So I think that the first Haymakers event I photographed was in 2016.
Okay.
And then ever since then went to, so I did Boston, I did Bells. And then as like the new cities came out, I went to Colorado, went to New York. I was photographing a lot of the events and then also just doing like little various marketing photo shoots here and there for apparel or like, you know, the wraps. I would do some shoots there too.
You've also had a little presence at the golf tournament and the polar plunge, you can't forget.
I did attend a polar plunge. I did not photograph that one, but I did attend it and cheered on my husband who jumped into the freezing water as well as some friends.
You didn't jump into the freezing water?
I did not. I was on baby duty. I had my child at that point. So
she's smart.
I was,
that's why.
I was safe on shore with the warmed car. Yes.
So in 2016, that's when you started to go to events and take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
How did it happen that you became sort of, and I might be wrong in the terminology, like the unofficial photographer for Haymakers for Hope? I know that you met Jordan, but how did that sort of path unwind?
Yeah, so I think that's correct. I would say I'm the unofficial official photographer. Maybe not as much anymore just because I have a child now, so I don't get to go to all the cities anymore, but I definitely was for a while. I just fell in love with the event, the fight night. It was so cool. And like, as a photographer who was really into, especially just sport and fitness photography, to get practice photographing, that's something so quick paced and just kind of different than like a usual staged photo shoot. I thought that was super cool. So I really enjoyed both the subject matter as well as I just fell in love with the cause. So when Jordan would say like, hey, do you want to come to New York? I'd be like, yeah, of course I want to come to New York and like photograph this event. Or do you want to fly to DC? I mean, not DC, fly to Denver. I was like, yes, of course. Like, I want to see what the city's production of this amazing event looks like. So I wanted to be there for all of them. I wanted to do it. I wanted to be involved.
What was it about the cause that you fell in love with? Like, what is your connection to the cause?
Well, like so many people, you know, I have family members who have had cancer, my aunt, my cousin, my dad, luckily, you know, all still alive today. My grandmother who did pass away from skin cancer when I was really young. I was like 3 years old. So I never really got to know her very well. So, you know, there's that personal connection. But then being at the events, seeing the ring card warriors, especially when these like kids would get up on stage and walk around and hearing their story that they're cancer survivors currently going through treatment, it's just like, that just hits you like nothing else, like seeing them there in person. Like when my cousin was going through cancer, when my aunt was going through cancer, I wasn't really like there to see them very much because they weren't nearby. So when you see these kids right there in front of you and, you know, I'm zoomed in on them on the camera and I'm like looking in their face. And then especially after the fact, like I kind of get to live the events twice because I'm there photographing them. But then after the fact, I'm also going through all these photos. So I kind of get this double whammy of like what this is for. And it kind of, especially going through the photos and watching these kids and the adults too, but just walking around on stage and I kind of had the voice in my head reminding me like, you know, this is so-and-so battling XYZ. And like, I have the voice, like the narration going through again while I'm editing the photos. And that just kind of like really pulls your heartstrings and gets you in there deeper.
That's such a unique and interesting perspective that I don't think I ever really even thought of, that you're there on event night in the vibe of the electricity of the audience. And then a couple days later, you're alone, going through everything and editing it and everything. And it comes back because it can be really emotional on event night, and especially with many of our ring card warriors. So,
sure.
And also I can't imagine now, you know, anytime you see a kid in the ring, it's always heartbreaking. But as a relatively new mother, it hits a little bit different.
Oh, absolutely. I really getcha. And you just like can't stand to see these kids and just imagine like, oh my gosh, like it could literally be anybody. Like that could be my kid. And it really pulls your heart.
Your family history. So you had your grandmother had passed away. Your aunt is a breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. Your cousin. How is your cousin?
My cousin's good.
Okay.
He's good. Yeah.
Do you worry for yourself about any type of cancer?
Yeah, I do. I do. I just know that it can kind of pop up at any time. So I worry about breast cancer. I also am at risk for another kind of cancer that I'm supposed to start getting checked out when I'm like 40 years old. My mom is considered like high risk for a certain kind of cancer. So I need to start getting checked for it earlier than otherwise. So yeah, it's definitely always something that's in the back of my mind. And another reason why I'm super grateful that things like Haymakers exist.
Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented by Haymakers for Hope. To donate, sponsor, attend an event, or better yet, to sign up to be one of our ass-kicking do-gooders, visit haymakersforhope.org. Round two. You started boxing through classes. So what do you think it was that made you want to take that next step, to be the one to step in the ring?
Well, I really just fell in love with the fitness of it. Like it was unlike anything I'd ever done before. Like I grew up dancing and that was like my fitness form. And then after college, I didn't really have my go-to thing. And like, I would go to the gym here and there, sure. But like, it all kind of felt not like pointless, but like I didn't have as big of a motivating factor, I guess. And so then when I found boxing, I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like dance. Like, you know, you have your footwork you have to do and then your arms, you're throwing coordinated punches. Like there's a coordination to it. And so first I kind of fell in love with that and got really into that. And then I did start working with a trainer on, you know, just kind of perfecting the art of it, getting more into the technical side, which really drew me in. And so I was doing that for a few years. And then of course I would attend the events. I would kind of get to see the beginning to end. Like I would, at one point, Jordan would have me go and photograph some of the girls like while they're training. So I would kind of see that part of it. And then I would always photograph media day, the halfway point where, you know, they would do their sparring and then make the intro videos. And I would always be photographing that. So like, I kind of had this unique perspective where I kind of got to see a lot of the behind the scenes. And it was always kind of in the back of my mind, like, oh, that would be cool. And then in 2018, my now husband, then boyfriend, was accepted to box for Boston. And so I kind of got to, while I was dating him, I got to see him go through the whole experience. And then everyone's like, when are you going to fight? You know, everyone's always saying that. When are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I like boxing, but I'm not really an aggressive person. I don't know. We'll see. But eventually, when are you going to do it? And then seeing my husband go through it, I was like, okay, all right, this is amazing. I think I have to do it at this point. I kind of felt like it was coming. Like I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when exactly. So it was meant to be.
That's so funny about that. You're not an aggressive person. And yet from watching your fight, you were the most aggressive person yes. I've ever seen. All you did was just come at this woman.
Yes. I had to do a lot of aggressive self-talk to get myself into that mindset. Like I kind of would pump myself up being like, yeah, like we're going to get in it. We're going to really destroy. Like I had to create this whole like character for myself in a way to really get into that zone.
Tell us more about this character. This, you got to hear this.
I mean, okay, first of all, I want to say my opponent is lovely. She's wonderful. Also like a new mom. I really like her. But I would psych myself up being like, you know, oh yeah, she's looking for a fight. Like I would, my friend, like the girls I was training with, like we had this whole thing because they knew Rachel's like, when we get into sparring, I loved the entire art of boxing. But for some reason, when I would get into the ring to spar, something just was not clicking. I really struggled with that. And again, it's like, I'm not aggressive. Like I had a hard time like throwing punches at people. I never would move forward. I was always being the one backed up. I would do it about the girls I was training with too. Like I would get the self-talk. We would make mind games with each other. Like, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to get you and like goad each other on in that way. And so I figured out, okay, I need to come into this other persona where it's like, I'm an aggressive, like mean girl to get the side out of me. And it worked.
The hesitancy for women can actually be pretty common. Yeah. There's been so many times that I've been around women sparring for the first time and two newbies in there and they go to hit each other and one says sorry and then the other says sorry and the other one says, it's just like, you just got to hit each other and just go for it, you know?
So many early days of sparring. Sorry.
I punched you in the face.
So Julie, when you started, did you have that as well? Were you sort of in that camp of
no.
No. Stupid question.
I didn't care.
Okay.
You could have hit me with a bat and I would have been like, cool.
But what about you hitting somebody else?
No. I mean, the first time I sparred, I got the shit kicked out of me. My blood everywhere. I went downstairs and cried in the shower for about 20 minutes.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Sink or swim, baby. I mean, there's something about typically I didn't grow up around combat sports and some women didn't have anything like that. And you're in the ring with a purpose, which is to hurt the other person. And that can be, I think, a really hard thing sometimes for women to tap into.
Yeah. I was always like the nice girl. Like, you know, Rachel's always like, oh, Rachel's the nice girl. Like, oh, Rachel's so sweet. Like that was always me. So it's hard when that's like, not only that's kind of how you think of yourself as like the nice person, like a peacemaker, to suddenly have to change into like an aggressor. And like someone who's literally throwing punches at like my friends' faces. Like that's an alarming, like, hey, like, let's go get a smoothie after this. Can I punch you in the nose? It's a weird thing to kind of battle.
Yeah. It's like you have to compartmentalize. Like you still are that really nice, sweet peacemaker person. But when you're in the ring, there's something that you have a job and you have to do. And I always say in women's boxing, your friends punch you in the face because there's no way you're going to get better. There's no way you're going to, you know, grow as a boxer if your friends don't want to hurt you. That's how you love each other.
What would you tell someone who sort of is in your shoes and they're thinking about signing up and they're like, there's no way I could punch someone in the face? What would you say to her or him?
Well, first of all, the people who you are there to like spar with and work with, they're also there to get punched in the face. And that's something that, you know, it's weird at first, but it is something that becomes a comfort. You're like, okay, it's not like some rando they threw off the street is like suddenly in the ring and you're like, okay, punch them in the face. It's like, no, these people are also here to do what you're doing, which is to work and you're probably going to get hit. Another thing I would say is that the confidence boost that comes from being able to be aggressive, it translates outside of the ring too. Like, I mean, yes, I would still consider myself like a nice person, but I also feel like I have become a stronger person mentally as well, just because I don't feel like such, like, I always have to be like, hey, I'm so sweet and nice. And no, I can put my foot down. I can be strong, like stand up for myself. So you get a really big confidence boost from that.
For you, for your fight night, how did you feel going into the fight?
Going into the fight, I felt, I mean, yeah, of course there's the nerves, but again, just having been to so many of the fight nights before and knowing the energy and having experienced that behind the scenes, I think I was more just excited than anything. I was so pumped, and I was so pumped for also the girls I trained with to kind of have this experience. Again, just because like I had that unique perspective of just like attending so many of these things, I kind of knew what to expect in that regard. Obviously, you never know what to expect when you actually step into the ring, but I was just so excited to be there and to have made it to that point and to be there with the girls that I had trained with. That was the overwhelming feeling, was just excitement and gratitude.
I have a question. What's harder, boxing or being a mother?
Ooh.
I'd like to answer that. No, I'm kidding.
Boxing training or motherhood? What's harder?
Motherhood.
I would have said the same thing.
Like with boxing training, like even though you're in it, you can always like step away for a minute, like if you need to kind of gather yourself. You do not always have that option when you have a crazy child running around. Sometimes then you can't step away, or them and your house might get hurt. So you just have to stick it out.
That explains why we have a Bells of the Brawl event. Because after year one, I had said to Andrew, I said, oh, wow, it would be awesome if we could do an all-women's event. And he was like, I don't know. And then we had our first event in 2011. 2013 was the first Bells, because there were all these women out there who needed to get in the ring and probably get out some frustration. And a lot of them were moms. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. I would definitely do it again at this point. If I could figure out how to arrange childcare for that, I'd be like, yep, sign me up. Let's go. Round two.
Yeah. And we run into that a lot with a lot of women training and what they, I mean, you know what it's like. It's work in general, work life. I say this all the time. There's a work life balance. You sign up to do something like this. It's work, life, family, kids, your job, fundraising, training, all of those things. So it's, you know, it's, you have a lot to juggle. So moms have a lot going on, and you know, women always show up and train really, really hard.
Yeah.
And speaking about training, I actually have something to share with you from one of your coaches from when you trained. So
Chris DeVega here, LFG Fitness, formerly from Everybody Fights. Just wanted to say a couple things about Rachel Genetasio, AKA Rachel Hogan. Pleasure working with her. She's an amazing human being. Known Rachel quite some time now. I got to be a part of her team. So Nick Sear was head coach, and then myself and Kevin Cobbs were assistants. And she was a part of a group of, I believe, six ladies it was. And they were, you know, I've seen a lot of people come and go, male and female. You know, and I'm being biased, but, you know, all females always work harder than males, especially in the Haymakers event. You know, that's just my opinion. But yeah, Rachel and her crew, 4 months, blood, sweat, and tears, worked their ass off. And Rachel, always positive, upbeat, smile on her face. Even through anything, she always came back to a smile. Didn't matter what it was, but come game time, that fight night, she had her business face on and she came to fight, and very proud of her performance. She came forward the whole time, throwing that overhand right, landed a bunch of times. And even though it was a split decision win, a win's a win. And I thought it was unanimous, but you know, that's me just being me. I'm always biased for, you know, our fighters, but I can't say enough good things about Rachel. She's literally first class all the way, and she's a great representative who should be doing Haymakers and who should be, you know, involved with Haymakers. Till this day, you know, we're still in contact every once in a while. And, you know, she's always done photography for, you know, Haymakers, for Everybody Fights, for, you know, myself and LFG. Till this day, I can call her. And even though it's a 2-hour drive, you know, she always will make something work for me. She always goes out of her way. And I always appreciate her and all of her hard work. That being said, just want to wish you, Rachel, and your family nothing but the best. I will see you soon, hopefully up here at LFG, or I'll see you in town, or I'll call and bother you for some photography or whatnot, but peace out.
Aw, DeVega.
It's always nice hearing from your coach.
That's really nice.
Because when you step in there, they're your eyes and ears. Like, you know, they're going to see stuff maybe you don't see or hear things you don't see. And you trust those people completely.
Yeah. I mean, the trainers, the people you train with, they literally become your family. I mean, you're spend so much time with them and you go through a lot with them. So that's so nice.
He's a good bird.
He is. He's fun. I always have his voice in my head sometimes with like certain, like whenever he would yell, Barbies, 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 that just echoes in my mind. Sprawl. His voice will never leave. It's in my dreams and my nightmares.
I get told that from my fighters. They say it's like they can. I have one of my fighters. Shout out to Serena. She listens to the podcast, so she'll listen to the. So it's like she's like, all I hear is your stupid voice in my head all the time. Either in the gym, when I'm running, when I'm trying to sleep. It's just, which is just too funny.
I had mentioned before about you having that unique perspective behind the lens. But also, I was just thinking, so you started taking photographs in 2016. In 2016, you photographed Bells?
I don't remember if it was Bells or Bells. It might have been.
But you started in 2016 and then competed in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, we're now in 2024. So you have seen an evolution of the Bells of the Brawl event.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
just want to hear, what is your perspective from not only behind the lens, but also being in the crowd, being in the ring, being in the gym? Like, have you seen an evolution of the level of talent of some of the women that are now stepping in and boxing is just incredible for people that are brand new to a gym.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the ladies have always been impressive. That's for sure. Like, there has not been a time where, like, from the very first Bells I saw, I was like, oh my God, like, these girls are badass. And every year I just say the same thing, like, oh my God, these girls are badass. Like, it's incredible. Every event is super impressive. I feel like as boxing becomes more of like a popular thing in terms of fitness, that kind of draws in more people who at least have like some like minor experience at least. So maybe that kind of helps. People kind of are familiar with the idea of it. So maybe that gives them a little bit more skill going in. I don't know, but it does seem like every year the girls get like fiercer and fiercer. And I don't know if there's something in the water around here, but I'll take it. It's so much fun. Every time it's like, if there's any event I could photograph over and over and over again, it would be Bells because the girls bring it. I mean, I'm also biased because I was one, but I think the girls bring it every time.
Well, Jordan says the same thing. Todd, what about you? What do you think?
I prefer teaching women how to box and I prefer to teach them how to fight. I love cornering for women. There's something about the way that they learn, the way that they process, and they're just technically so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the fights have gotten, throughout the years, they've definitely improved. Like, you have the skill set, the agreements that are made in the ring are, it's, we're fighting. They just, they fight and they box. I definitely have seen an evolution in it and they just keep getting better.
You know, another thing I'm thinking is also maybe, I don't know how common it was for like this many females to be boxing. So maybe like also as the coaches kind of learn, you know, especially people who like repeat trained year after year, you know, the coaches kind of learn how to work with women better too, as opposed to just like, you know, male boxers. Maybe that helps the quality of fighting go up a notch as well.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I know a lot of coaches that I know weren't used to training women. Now they're more used to it. Rachel, if you could tell someone who's about to embark on this 4-month boxing journey, if you could tell them just one thing, what would you tell them?
Trust the process. I feel like that's a really cliche thing, but it's true. Trust the process. Trust your coach. They're there to make you the best that you can be. A lot of people are going to tell you a lot of different things. You know, there's always people who want to give their opinions and like try to help like assistant coach you. Just, you have to pick the voice of your coach. And that's what should be shining through. Like in those moments where you're like, what am I supposed to be doing? Just listen to your coach, trust their training, trust your training. And that'll help keep you focused and bring you to the end.
Welcome to the Producer's Corner, where I do a quick check-in with a fighter who you've already met, Luke Gambale. We're recording this on April 5th, just under 3 weeks from the Liberty Bell Brawl, where tickets are still on sale.
Hi, this is Luke.
Hey, Luke, it's Julian Lewis. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm not sure how much Jordan told you, but basically, you know, you're less than 3 weeks out from your fight, and I just want to check in to see how things are going. So I just have a few questions.
Cool. That sounds good.
It's safe to say that this is not the hardest thing that you've endured, but now that you're just a few weeks out, how would you say this stacks up from all the things that you've endured in life?
Yeah, I got to say it's different, but absolutely has still been tough. You know, having a background playing football, you know, football camp was always pretty tough, but it kind of, you know, dialed into a month, and I had a lot of experience, you know, going into that. So it wasn't so much learning the sport. It was, you know, really just getting conditioned and learning the plays. Obviously battled cancer. I was, you know, figuring that out as I went. So, you know, that was a lot different, super rough, but I got to do a lot of that from a chair or my couch. This whole experience has been awesome. You know, we've ramped it up. There was four of us, Lee, Dan, and Tyler, fighting out of Malik Jackson's gym. So went into it together. And then also, you know, a lot of the members of that gym have really stepped up and, you know, really put us to work. So shout out Rami, Jalen, Kenny, Norm. Everybody, you know, Coach Fizz, Coach Malik, Hanif. But yeah, it's been definitely a process, something, you know, we're all going hard at. So very different than battling cancer, but you know, I left sparring this morning, I think 6 a.m. My nose was already bleeding.
Ooh.
So it's been an awesome experience, but yeah, it definitely makes me feel alive again. It's been super cool to do this after battling cancer, to, you know, jump into something that's super exciting and get that competitive edge back.
Amazing. What do you want your friends and family who show up for the event on the 24th to know about your journey?
Just, you know, depending on the result, you know, the old Luke is coming back. I think it's a real cool way to, you know, kind of cap my whole cancer journey, fighting in a cancer charity event. But I think this past week I hit 1 year, 7 months in remission, but you know, to kind of celebrate that in the ring, you know, and I actually took a fight earlier this month that didn't go, you know, in my favor. So it's just, you know, kind of capping the journey. You know, while I'll, you know, kind of always be deemed a cancer patient, I'm an active, you know, USA boxing heavyweight fighter now. So, you know, that's totally leaving, you know, Luke the patient behind and getting back to doing something that, you know, now I've really fallen in love with. But you know, every, you know, friend, family, ton of coworkers, shout out the Red Bull team, you know, it's just watching someone do something that, you know, hits home for them, but also getting to really, you know, do something that they enjoy. So I appreciate everyone's support, but I think it's going to be a really great show. Lee unfortunately can't fight, but Tyler and Dan and then myself, I think we're coming into this pretty prepared, so I think it's gonna be a special night.
Amazing. I love to hear that. And then last question, how do you imagine you'll feel after the final bell on April 24th, 2024?
And as long as it goes in my favor, I'm going to be amped up. But, you know, I'm closing in on, I think, $15,000 raised, and I'm going to feel great about that. But I think just seeing this whole thing, you know, come to a close, the four-month journey. Also, like I said, I feel like it kind of caps off a little bit of my cancer journey. Going to be excited, but I'm not done boxing. I've already signed up for a membership at my gym to keep going with it. So
let's go.
I don't know what the future holds for me, you know, in an actual fighting, but this is not going to be, you know, throw the gloves in the closet and forget about it and get back to normal life. So yeah, like I said, USA Boxing, I'm 0-1 right now, so 1-1. I'll be pretty amped up to bring it there. So I know Henry Hill is training hard, but I know I'm doing the right things to be prepared for fight night, but super excited. I mean, it's just like, you know, coming out of preseason, you're looking forward to that first game. You know, you close that first game, the season's not over, but you got to celebrate, you know, game by game. So I'll be enjoying myself after it, you know, looking forward to meeting all the friends and family of my teammates and, you know, maybe taking a break from sparring and, yeah, just kind of enjoying the close of this one and then seeing what's next.
Luke, thank you for joining me in the Producer's Corner.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me back. And this whole experience has been super awesome. And anyone who heard the first podcast hears this, definitely put your name in for Haymakers next year if it's in a city near you. One of the coolest things I've ever done. So super pumped that I was a part of this one.
Awesome. And for everybody listening, it's not too late to get your tickets to the Liberty Bell Brawl on April 24th, 2024.
Absolutely. Come check out Lee and the boys. We're going to be ready and I think 23 other fighters outside of our team. So it's going to be a great night.
Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented by Haymakers for Hope. Did you know there's more to Haymakers than just boxing? We also have opportunities for you to lace up your sneakers and run a marathon with Team Haymakers, or grab your clubs and play in one of our golf tournaments. Visit haymakersforhope.org for more. Round three. You have been, obviously based out of Boston, you have photographed the Rock and Rumble event. You have photographed and competed at the Bells of the Brawl. You've also attended our event to take pictures for DC, Denver, and New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That is five different events. I can math. That's awesome. So of the five events, Rock and Rumble, Bells of the Brawl, DC, Denver, and New York City, what is your favorite event?
Ooh, I mean, they're all so good and like all have the most incredible production. Like you can't not have a good time going to any of these events. But if I had to choose one to photograph over and over and over again, I think I already said it. It would have to be Bells, just because something about having all female fighters and like when girls' friends show up to cheer you on, like the cheer squad for an all-female event is unreal. All the females fighting are just so dedicated and so talented. That one really is super special.
Women show up for each other.
They do. They really do.
They especially will show up for a friend to get in a fight.
Yes, yes.
And Rachel, why should someone sign up to participate?
There are so many different reasons, I would say. It could be very personal in terms of the cause itself, in terms of like knowing, you know, somebody in your life has cancer. That's definitely a driving factor, knowing that, yes, sure, you're fighting, but the whole purpose of this is to raise money for an incredible cause. And that is motivation on its own. Another great factor is like, you know, it's something to do for yourself. It pushes you out of your comfort zone and you'll become a stronger, better version of yourself than you ever knew you could be. And that's something that's so cool, is to kind of see the transformation within yourself. And then also you meet some really amazing people through this organization. And that's something super special as well. You meet people who you probably would never meet otherwise through punching each other in the face, or people who will help you punch others in the face. And that's also super special.
So Rachel, next question is more about how Haymakers has added to your life after the Bell. Forget, you know, aside from being friends with people in the organization, aside from being the photographer, what has Haymakers given you and what have you gained from your involvement?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've definitely gained a level of self-confidence and like strength that I always want to continue embracing. Again, like I was kind of not like timid, but I wasn't really a pushing forward in the ring and metaphorically kind of a person. So it's definitely helped me become stronger. And then my husband through boxing, and we both did Haymakers. So that is something that I definitely came out on the good side of. We have a child now. So, and he's also running the Boston Marathon for Haymakers. So, which is pretty cool. So continued to stay involved both as like for through other events. I also did like a 10K a couple years ago for Haymakers. And then I also met some lovely ladies while I was boxing and training through Everybody Fights, who now live in the same town as me and also have children. So we still get together and our kids play. We call them our baby Bells, even though I'm the only one with a girl. And it's really nice to kind of made some really wonderful friends. And they really are like some of my best friends.
Rachel, thank you so much for being a guest today. I always love being able to really dive in and learn more about people, their experience and how they've impacted it. And I love the fact that you have continued to be there at all these events and other markets. And you take some of the best pictures. One of my favorite photos is the one you took of my daughter when she was little at a Bell's Media Day while she was leaning against the ring. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh my gosh, please do.
But if you are interested in supporting Rachel's husband, Ryan, who is running the Boston Marathon for Haymakers for Hope, you can go to haymakersforhope.org and search Ryan Hogan under the Boston Marathon 2024 event. Also, if you're interested in hiring Rachel, or if you are in need of some amazing photography, check the show notes out so you can reach out to Rachel for any of your photography needs. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, Rachel, I see you at all these events, and this is the most I've ever actually spoken to you. And I'm really glad that I got a chance to. Yeah, this was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been awesome.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. We're grateful for your support.
If you enjoyed this episode, please follow the podcast and tell a friend. To donate, sponsor, attend an event, or better yet, sign up to fight TKO cancer, visit haymakersforhope.org.
Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell is presented and produced by Haymakers for Hope in partnership with Studio Pod Media. Our producers are former fighters Jordan McMillan and Julian Lewis.
I'm Julie Kelly.
And I'm Todd Buster Paris.
You've been listening to Not Every Fight Ends at the Bell.